you so much. Thank you, Sister Kezia. Thank you, dear sister. Father, we are so blessed to be in your presence. We thank you for your presence. Thank you for the amazing covenant we have with you, that in you we live, in you we move, in you we have our being. Father, thank you for the hunger you put in our hearts for more of you. Father, thank you for giving us the grace to make time, more time, to wait upon you in this season. Thank you for what you prepared for us in 2019, that eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, neither has entered the heart of man those things that you have prepared for us. Father, thank you that as we wait on you, you will lead us, you order our steps, you direct us, you guide us. This year, we will not strive, but you help us by your spirit to walk in everything and to manifest everything that you have prepared for us, Father, and to walk in victory in every area of confrontation. Thank you tonight for the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Father, open our eyes of understanding as you reveal Jesus more to us and your ways to us. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Hallelujah. Amen. We thank God again for the privilege to be together as a family. And this is 2019. And we just continue to press in and to position ourselves for what the Lord wants to do this year. We thank God for the prayer and the fasting and the times of consecration that is going on. And for our prayer committee here, we just thank God so much for the commitment and dedication of so many that are really carrying the mantle of prayer in this season. Amen. Hallelujah. Somebody is really tired, so we just pray that God will continue to give all of us strength. Amen. Amen. Okay. Tonight, I feel like last week, I believe that Isaiah 64 says, eyes have not seen, ears have not heard the things God has prepared for those who wait on him. Corinthians says, those who love him. So like we said last week, there are things that God has prepared for us in 2019. There were things he prepared for us in 2018. So we are either harvesting the things God has prepared, or we are sowing to harvest what God has for us. So the more that the Lord is making me aware of this, I feel this year we'll learn together how to really see more breakthroughs this year, more victories this year, more manifestation of promises this year than we saw last year, because of some of these things we're going to be learning together. But before we go into the word for today, I also want to just a quick reminder to us as intercessors, God has called us as watchmen. A watchman is the one who sees things from a distance and is able to do something about it in several ways, either to raise an alarm or to stand in the gap for that, or to do what it takes to prepare people for it, or to ward off whatever that thing is. A watchman is God's voice, prophetic voice, intercessory voice. A watchman is one who really sees with the ability to do whatever it takes to for God to intervene in the situation. We are here as watchmen. God has placed us here and planted us here. And if you look at what is happening today in our nation, if you look at what is happening right now in America with a natural eyes, you will not be awakened. You will not take seriously the prayers you've been doing or the prophetic call and mandate that has been going on even from last year. Let's pray for the nation. Let's pray. And even there's a prophetic word that just came forth about the seriousness of the moment. And as we work with other prayer networks, we believe that several are praying into this 2019 right now. But for us, we have to take responsibility ourselves for what we know. So I want to encourage us that those who see what is happening with natural eyes, they will treat it in a natural way. They will just complain, talk about it, murmur a little bit about it, gossip about it, or just say or be angry about it, or look at it more politically, from political eyes and stuff, but we need to see it from a spiritual eyes. There is a problem, and the enemy is going to take advantage of this if God does not intervene to really shock America and put the nation in a bad position. And the multiplication of things that can happen out of that can destabilize the nation, and before they realize it, it's too late. The nation will be in a state where it will take a while to recover. So as watchmen, we need to pray that God will intervene, and we are the ones that stand against the plans of the enemy. Right now, the nation, the Bible says, wherever you pride is, there's contention. There's pride manifest contention, and wherever pride is, there is division. So humility manifests unity. Only through humility is unity. But the fearful thing about when pride is being revealed because of the sharp division in the nation, to the point where no matter the effect it's having on people, pride is holding the two political parties, holding the government ransom. The nation is held in ransom because of pride. So wherever pride is, the devil thrives on it. So, and that's why the Bible says that before something falls, that thing has exalted itself. Pride, the pride comes before a fall. While promotion, humility comes before promotion. So when you see pride at this level from a spiritual eyes, if there is no serious prayer, that is a recipe for collapse, a fall. That's what the Bible says. Pride comes before fall. But you have to recognize it. So let's take the warnings we've been receiving prophetically, the prayers we've been doing prophetically, and our responsibilities as watchmen prophetically for the nation serious at this moment. Amen. What is happening in the nation is very obvious, is problem, but for us there's more problem from the spiritual side than the natural side. So please take this time of prayer serious. Personally be praying for the nation, and corporately within your inner circle of prayer ministry, the prayer groups and different ones, please just focus on the nation right now. Focus on the destiny of the nation and for God's intervention. Thank you so much. That's why we are here together anyway, and that's why we do this training. So going into the direction for tonight, I want to share with you something that we probably have touched it in last year, but the way God is really opening my understanding to it and really stressing the need for me to take this revelation serious, is why I'm going to be sharing it, and I might stay on it for a while because we can't cover everything about it just once. What I'm sharing with you today, I have seen it play a significant role, affected me in a very, very powerful way, especially facing challenges, facing difficult moments, and but giving me the leverage to always have victory and to overcome. So that's the so, and then as well in this year, it helps us to possess, to be able to win, to possess the promises that God has prepared for us in 2019. Now, let me begin this way. Moses had three different major seasons in his life. And the first season was when he was in Egypt, his first 40 years. He was still being trained in the ways of the Egyptians, and then of course he had his call. Then he understood he had a call on his life and made efforts to try to step into it. It didn't work. Then he entered his next season. And the next season began the next 40 years of his life, this time where he was in a wilderness where God now prepared him. And he was there at the end of the 40 years, the preparation was finished. And then God now started now commissioning him the last 40 years, where he went to Egypt, and then for the next 40 years prepared the next generation to take the baton into the promised land. So at the end of the last 40 years of Moses, now that he's 120, he's now died. There were people that had been under him being prepared to now fulfill the next mandate of God. And this time, this is the generation that is now all the way from Abraham. This is the generation now that will now possess, now really manifest the promise. They're going to enter the promised land. So this is the Joshua generation. So God started speaking to Joshua. And it is in these words that God spoke to Joshua that the Lord gave me and reminded me of some principles I'm about to share with you, and we'll touch one of them today. Here, God spoke to Joshua. He says, you all know the story. Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise. Go over this Jordan, thou and all these people, unto the land which I give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given to you, as I said unto Moses. Amen. Now, I want to read from verse 6. Then he started saying, God says, be strong and of a good courage. For unto this people shall thou divide for them an inheritance, the land which I swore unto their fathers to give them. Verse 7, God repeated again, only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe, that is, that you might be able to see, to have the vision, and then you might be able to do, obey, to do according to me, to obey all the law, all the word, which Moses my servant commanded thee. Then he said, turn not from it to the right hand, or to the left hand, meaning be focused, so that you are not distracted from this assignment, that thou mayest prosper, meaning you prosper means that you have a good success wheresoever you go. Then God went further again. This time is giving you now the principle, the strategy. Say, this word, the book of the law, shall not depart out of thy mouth. Meaning the word of the law shall not depart, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. Discipline, spiritual discipline. That thou mayest observe, that you will be able to see, you have a vision, and then to be able to do according to all that is written, then you'll be able to obey that which God is showing you, that which you're seeing. And it says, for then thou shalt make thy way, the path God will take you in 2019, will make it prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Good success means something that is not contestable, or you're afraid you'll ever lose it. Have I not commanded thee, be strong
man of a good courage. Again, he's saying this about what? About the third or fourth time. Habakkuk, be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee wheresoever you go. So, there's a few things here. I mean, for God to be so transparently clear to Joshua about his calling, about his commission. And this is a transitional moment, like we went from 2018, 2019. This is a transitional moment in the life of Israel or in the life of Joshua. Moses just died. They are now closing a chapter of their training. Now God is about to take them into absolutely a new phase, a new chapter, a new season. And that's what we're talking about, new season, 2019, new season. But this season, God is promising them, things are prepared for you. You are going to possess it. But now, God knows the end from the beginning. God knows exactly the atmosphere of the promise. So now God is now using Joshua as a reference point for leadership into a place of promise. How to possess promise. It's now giving Joshua principles for how to possess, to win, to possess things in 2019. So, but the first thing he started telling him, he says, wherever your soul touch, you know, I'll give it to you. You know, nobody will stand before you, all this stuff. But here are some things that keep people from possessing. And then here are principles that will help you overcome. It said first, verse 6, when it says be strong, in other words, there are things that make people weak eventually. There are things they face that weakens them. Then it says be strong and be courageous. There are things that discourage people in their vision, in their calling, or in the things they've heard from the Lord, or the dreams they've had into a particular season, and they give up, or they go weary, or they give up, and they never harvest or possess that thing. And then God told him also, he says that you may us be able to observe, keep the focus on the vision, and then you will not turn from the left to the right. He's saying there are things that distract people. They start with a vision, they start with a purpose. God is giving them a mandate, and then all of a sudden certain things starts happening and their intention is to distract. Take your focus off the promise. Take your focus off the promise. And then there are things, the last one he says, Abana command to be strong and be not afraid. There are things that will cause people to be afraid, and then because of fear they take their focus off walking by faith, and then they get discouraged, and then they get dismayed, and then they get confused, and compromise comes, and another year comes, and no tangible testimony of a miracle or a breakthrough or a particular harvest. You know, it's like, okay, God, you know, everything has worked out for good, so I'll just focus on the next year. So by God's grace, God wants every one of us to have tangible testimonies in 2019 by the time we start talking about it in 2020. So let me bring a few things here. God is telling Joshua, like he's speaking to us right now about 2019. He's telling Joshua, what you see will determine your obedience. And your obedience based on what you see will determine your ability to be successful in the year.
What do I mean by what you see and your obedience? How does that do? Now, today I will stop. I will just mention on our topic today is identity. Identity. God, in this passage, we're going to look at it. We'll break this passage down through this season. But today I want to start with identity. All these things you see here, God is telling Joshua, you need to have a clear identity before you go into that promised land of who you are. You have to have a good image of who you are. Your identity is your image. And your image defines everything. Your image determines how you see things, and it determines how you react to things. It determines how you obey God. It determines your image is the foundation upon which you build on anything. You start. Your image is how. Let me just use an example about image, about identity. How your identity is determines your image, and how you see things in 2019. How is all based on the image you enter 2019 with. And so your identity is critical, and that's what we'll talk about now. So here is a good example of image, personal identity. Moses sent 12 spies when God was telling the preparers to go just to spy and see, just to go see and taste, see the land, the promise that God gave to them. So when they went, there were 12 of them from 12 tribes. God chose them from 12 tribes. So what happened? The 12 of them went into the promised land. They were standing on their image, their identity, without knowing it. So now, 10 of them came back. And this is how they see, because God says that you may as observe what you look at. Your image determines how you see what you observe, and what you observe determines your place of obedience. So and without obedience, you know, nothing happened. So they went, and 10 of them came back, and this is what they said: we have gone to the land, and all we saw was giants. We saw giants. This land of milk and honey, their focus, they saw giants. And they said, this is what they said: we are like grasshoppers before them. So the image they have of the promise for 2019, the place that God is saying, I prepared something for you that the human eyes, the human ears, and the human heart cannot perceive. So now, looking at the identity, they looked at this, their promise, and all they saw was mountains. All they saw was giants. All they saw was problems. All they saw is going to be difficulty. And so they said, you know, all we see in this thing is just giants. And we are like grasshoppers compared to them. Then the other two, Joshua and Caleb, in their time, they were part of the people that were saved. They were standing on the same platform with these people, but they were standing on what Moses has spoken to them. God told Joshua, focus on what you received from my servant, the vision, the word of the Lord. So they focused on it. What God told to them was their image, was their identity. That's what they stood. So, and they looked at it from that place. And they said, no. These people, this is a promise God has given to us. And these people are bread for us. They're like, let's go and let's just go and possess it right now. So why would two people be standing in one place and this group says it's impossible
All I see is problems. All I see. And this person is standing in the same ground and looks at the same thing you're looking at and saying, that's my promise, let me go take it right now. That comes from your personal identity. It comes from your personal image. So what has image or your identity got to do with you having victory in 2019, you possessing blessings in 2019, based on what I just shared with you now? Your image, your identity is defines like what I just said now. So all through the Bible, in Hebrews 11, there is this word that we all know about. It's called faith. I have always, you know, we all know about faith. You know, without faith you can't please God. So the reason why in Hebrews 11 God just talks all about from the beginning to the end that it was by faith. Everybody from Genesis all the way to the New Testament, it was by faith they won victory, they prevailed, they ruled kingdom, they overcame lions, they defeated kings, they possessed promises, they did this, they did that. Everything is based on faith. So I said, so what has faith got to do with image? And God started showing me, says, that's what you need to understand as you enter 2019. So here's how it works. This is what faith is. Faith is believing the image that you have of yourself. That is, the image that you believe in will really determine your success. For example, we have two kinds of images, two kinds of identities. One is what we call the natural image, which is the person you see in the mirror every day, in the natural mirror. When you look at the natural mirror, you look at the image, and when you look at that person, is you. If your name is Mary, you see Mary, natural Mary in the mirror, or natural John in the mirror. That's a natural. That's our self-image, mirror-wise. So that's the image of what we call the human man, the flesh man, the natural man. That's the image from Adam, the fallen natural man. So that's our first identity. Born of man. And whether we are doctors, whether we are lawyers, whether we are presidents, that's the image we know as the image of man. So that image has its identity. So you might have this identity as, you know, I'm a natural man, I'm a doctor, I'm a lawyer, whatever it is, your ID, just like you have on your driver's license. That's your image. He has your name on it. He has your image on it. Yeah, that's your identity. So that's one identity. I'm just trying to rush this out today. That's one identity. But there is another identity. There's another image that is invisible. This image is supernatural. This image is hidden from human eyes. This image is not visible to natural man. So the fallen man, all the way from Genesis, the enemy confronts this. When circumstances come, situation come, the enemy confronts, Satan confronts the natural man. Sometimes he can prevail. The man don't know how to solve that. So this new image, this spiritual image, is hidden. That's the one Jesus came to give to us. That's the image that Paul wrote about a lot. All things work together for good, for them that love God, for them that are called of God, for whom God foreknew, he also predestined. to be conformed into his image. That's the one Paul wrote about in 2 Corinthians 3. He says, as we behold him, we are changed from glory to glory into the same image. You know, he's talking about it all through this image of Christ in us, the hope of glory. What is this image? So, faith, just quickly before I tell you what the image is, faith is when your image or your identity is not based on what you see with natural eyes. Because what you see with natural eyes is not faith. It's natural. That's natural. So faith is really the ability to live out of the influence of what you don't see. The ability that your life is built on that which you don't see. That which you don't see becomes your reality more than that which you see. That's what faith is. So God started showing me the reason all through the Old Testament he mocked Joseph. He gave him a vision, but the vision could not come to pass until God let Joseph know this vision can never happen based on his natural image of himself. Because out of Joseph's natural image, he was put in a pit. He went through circumstances that just controlled his life. But while he was going through natural circumstances, there's no way he could fulfill spiritual assignment or the spiritual mandate upon his life. So God had to show Joseph through everything he went through and ended up in prison to show him the natural man does not have the capacity to deliver spiritual assignment. So if you build your image on the natural man, all you have is a failure. All you have is a defeated man. All you have is a complaint. All you see is a giant. Joseph, physically, everything he faced made the vision impossible by man. But after Joseph came through, all these trials Joseph went, all he did was he built his spiritual image, his character. It was based on this spiritual image, this inner character, this discipline that Joseph had, focusing on the vision, focusing on what he saw with God, and stayed with it until God built an inner image in him. Joseph lived out of that image. And so when Joseph became a prince, it was not based on his outward image. He was not qualified. It was based on his identity as a man of God. So the same thing happened with Moses. The reason why God took Moses through this differently, Moses was trying to establish the assignment, the spiritual assignment, based on his natural image, 40 years being the prince of Egypt. But when the devil, when he said, oh, who made you a judge over us, the pressure of Satan came through on a certain, his flesh couldn't handle it, he fled. So based on his natural image, he could not deal with spiritual confrontation. So God had to take him for another 40 years to help him see that his natural image cannot fulfill spiritual assignment. So you cannot build your image on that which has the capacity to fail. But you build your image on that which is impossible to fail. Your spiritual image is impossible to fail and it's impossible not to succeed. So what God was telling Joshua here is, Joshua, don't come from left. Keep your focus on the vision, on the word, the image of Christ before you. Now, before we get to that, you can see the same thing. So, the reason these things were happening in the Old Testament was a mystery that we did not understand. And even the people in the Old Testament did not understand. It was in the New Testament, Jesus lived out this reality. And when Jesus lived it out, as Jesus left, now the Holy Spirit came and used Paul to explain to us what faith is. and to reveal to us what it really means to walk by faith. It means not to walk by sight. The moment you're born again, your real image has been changed from the natural man to spiritual man. And until you understand who that image is, you will not know how to deal or confront mountains before you. Every spiritual obstacle that the human image confronts is a mountain. But every spiritual obstacle that the spiritual image confronts becomes a plain. How does that see? So, for example, in the Old Testament, you will not understand why God called Abraham. But then, after so many years, Abraham was wondering, what's going on here? And then finally, him and Sarah says, let's just come up with a solution. They didn't know what God was doing. So it was finally God visited Abraham and said, Abraham, listen, I'm going to change your name because your image, my call on you and the assignment I have for you to fulfill is not based on your natural image. It's based on who I know you to be, who I have created you to be, who I've called you to be before you were born. Your true image is built on Abraham, not Abraham. So God changed his name and gave him a new identity. That identity has always been inside of him, but God wanted that identity to be his reality. So he changed his name so that Abraham now will be called by a new ID. And that ID is an ID of faith. So he became the father of faith. Meaning now Abraham started calling himself, my name now is Abraham. His name before was Abraham, but God changed his ID so that he will fulfill his promise. The moment Abraham now started, took on this new ID, Sarah's womb was dead, but the spiritual image is not limited by natural limitations. So Sarah gave birth. So the spiritual image is a supernatural image. It cannot be limited by natural thing. It cannot be stopped. So the same thing happened. God called, several people in the Bible, Jacob from the mother's womb. But Jacob's image was, he came out, was answering this natural Jacob, and he was living out an ID, an image, an identity that was built on flesh. And he ended up, all he could do was manipulate, all he could do was manipulation. Not until he had an encounter with heaven through the visitation of an angel that his ID was changed. And the reason the ID was changed, it was called now Israel. The ID was changed to give him a new vision on how to see himself. And based on now this new image of himself, he was able now to manifest the promise. He was able now to pass on the baton to the next generation to fulfill that which God has spoken. So he's called Jacob in the natural, but spiritually his true identity is Israel. So when we see these things in the Bible, does not mean that we now that in the New Testament we have to change our name. No. But God is saying, I change those people's name just as an example for you to know that the moment you've entered into a covenant relationship with God, the old covenant was based on Abraham, circumcision, that made them different. The new covenant was based on sons of God through Christ. Okay? So, the moment you are a covenant child, the moment you're born again, God says, you have a totally brand new identity. But what happens now is, people keep walking by sight and they build their image on what is natural rather than what is spiritual. So they don't experience the transformation that they need to experience so that before you know it, they come to that fullness of the knowledge of who they are in Christ, in maturity. So, having said that, this is where the image became clearer in the New Testament. That's why I'm staying on identity today, how it leads to faith. Anyway, you see, this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. When you read Hebrews 11 from now, as we go into this teaching, faith will make sense to you. Faith is not just the word you study. It's not just the word you preach. It is the identity, who you are in Christ. It is the true image of who you were born to be. It's a reality. So, here is how I want to conclude this. It was in the New Testament that as Jesus was now serving his time on earth as the Son of God, at some point he stopped in the book of Matthew chapter 16. He called his disciples together, and this time it was in a place called Caesarea Philippi. It's a very highly demonic, superstitious area with idolatrous pictures of different gods. And he asked them a question. He says, "Who do men say that I am?" And the disciples were kind of shocked. So they started telling him, "Oh, you are, they say you are Elijah, you are this." They started painting an image of Christ. They started giving him an identity based on the outcome of his ministry. They started saying, because you let me use an example, because you're fixing cars, you're a mechanic, or because you take care of people in the hospital, you're a doctor, because you do this, you're a nurse. Or, so in other words, they say, because you do miracles, or because you raise the dead, they started going back to see the manifestation of different people in the Bible, and they say, somebody say, you're probably this person that just rose from the dead. You're probably this person, this is the image. They were using an outward manifestation to define who he is. And they were, even sometimes they say, this is not Mary, Joseph's son. So it was Peter who now finally received a revelation. Peter received the revelation, and as Peter received the revelation, Peter said, "You are Christ, the Son of the living God." Now Jesus says, "Wow, flesh and blood has not revealed this to you." Remember the scripture we started with, "Eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, neither has entered the heart of man the things God has prepared for those who love him or wait on him." So you see, these things are revealed to us by the Spirit. So he said to Peter, "Flesh and blood has not revealed this to you." Because he finally says, okay, if all these people on the outer court says, this is who I am. Now Jesus says, "Who do you say that I am, you that I'm working with?" And that's the question Jesus is asking us in 2019. Who are you entering 2019 with? Who are you? Who are you going to be in 2019? Are you going to build? Because God told Joshua, your image will determine how discouraged you're going to be. Your image will determine how strong you're going to be. Your image will determine the foot you're going to walk in that will possess promises. And it's not the foot of the natural man. So, your image will determine where will keep your focus. So Jesus said to them, he says, "Upon this rock, I will build my spiritual government." My government. You know, the church is not a building. The church what we call the ecclesia, the messengers, the government of God, the legislators, the ambassadors, the sent, the people that carry the DNA of God, sent to represent him in every capacity. So he says, "Flesh and blood has not given to you this, but upon this rock, I will build my church. I will build my government. I will establish my church." And then look at what he said. "The gates of hell shall not prevail." He says, he says, on this image, on this identity, that's who I am. Peter, you're right. That's my identity. That's the image I operate from. That is the image I flow from. And when the church comes, when I leave, when I build my church, that's the image it will stand on. No other foundation. That will be the foundation. That will be the image you're going to carry. The sons of God. Born of God. Not of men. So, it says, upon this foundation, upon this identity, I will build my church. So this identity, this image of who I am, my image, my ID, that's who I am, Peter. Upon this, hell cannot stop you because you carry a spiritual image. Then he went further to say, upon this image, I will give you the keys of kingdom. I will give you access to rule and to reign with me. I will give you access to kingdom governments. And then he says, I will, whatever you bound on earth will be bound in heaven. Basically saying, even though you're in this world, but you're clothed with an earthen vessel, but I'll put you, but based on the image of who you are spiritually, you will be reading things in the spirit, and you see things happening in the natural. Natural people will see it and say, oh, this, but you determine how that happens in the spirit and how it looks like in the natural. Whatever you lose, I lose. Whatever you bind, I bind. So he says, you now reign on behalf of God on the earth, in the place of prayer, in the place of spiritual government. That word kings and princes means you are a ruler on behalf of God in the kingdom. So, for us to be effectively enter into this place of maturity, that's why Paul says in Ephesians that the purpose of the training and the equipping of the saints is to bring us to the understanding of the maturity of who we are in Christ, to the stature of his maturity in our identity of who we are. So to summarize tonight, and that's why I said we're going to build on this, we're going to continue on this. Without a proper identity of who you are, we keep struggling. So that's why the 10 spies were able to see from their place of observation their image, and it says all I see is giants. Of course, if you look from the natural, of course that's all you see, but whether to look from the place of the spiritual image Moses gave to them and their relationship, and they look at it from the promise of God, they said, no, let's go right now, this is bread for us. That's how we want to enter 2019, and that's what will help us to see some victories we've not seen in the past. So that's my prayer. We're going to stay with this until we get it. You are not just the natural person you see in natural mirror. You are the reflection of who you really are, is what you read in the Bible. When you read the Bible as a spiritual mirror, whatever you see there is inside of you. Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's why greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. We'll look more closely, and by God's grace, we'll experience more victory this year than we'll ever be. God bless you.